He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus said, in a little while, you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this he is saying? A little while and you will not see me? And again a little while and you will see me? We do not know what he's talking about. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, can you tell me what occurs every minute, twice every moment, yet never in 1,000 years? The letter M, duh. Here's another one. You know, riddles can be fun, but they can be confounding as well. What is greater than God? More evil than the devil? Rich people want it, poor people have it, and if you eat it, you will die. Nothing. What is greater than God? Nothing. What is more evil than the devil? Nothing. Rich people want nothing. Poor people have nothing. And if you eat nothing, you will die. Should we try another? You are so successful thus far. Who make it have no need of it. Who buys it does not use it. Who uses it can never see it nor feel it. What is it? I'm not telling you until the end. That feeling you have right now, like, Pastor, what are you talking about? We have no idea what you're talking about, is exactly the same emotional reaction that the disciples had to the words of Christ when he said, a little while and you will not see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. John records that some of the disciples begin to talk amongst themselves. What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. To us, looking back, it really doesn't seem all that much like a riddle after all, because we know that in just a few hours that Jesus Christ is going to be arrested and crucified and then ultimately on the third day rise again from the dead. And because of all that, you and I have life and salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and we can begin the service by saying, He is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. See, you and me, it's not a riddle at all. In a little while, you will not see me. And after a little while, you will see me. We know exactly what Jesus is talking about. But of course, then again, we have the luxury of time. We understand because recorded in Scripture is the whole account of Christ's crucifixion and His resurrection. But you see, the disciples did not know that. And so Jesus, knowing what was about to take place, wants them to be prepared and to be comforted that there's going to be hope in the midst of all the confusing things that are about ready to take place. Because in a little while, Jesus is referring to the time between His death and His resurrection. See, in just a little while, His disciples in here are going to go to the garden called Gethsemane. And there Jesus is going to be kissed by a disciple called Judas and be arrested. They're going to witness all that. In just a little while, they're going to watch Jesus be bound and taken before the high priest to undergo the greatest injustice of all human history, sentenced to death. In just a little while, they're going to see their Lord be scourged, or as Isaiah says, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. You see, in just a little while, they're going to watch as Jesus Christ is nailed to the cross, nails driven through His hands and His feet, and they're hung between heaven and earth to suffer for the sins of all mankind, and they will see it with their own eyes in just a little while. And they will see with their own eyes the body of Christ being placed into the tomb, and the stone being put in place. And they're going to experience a separation from Jesus they'd never ever experienced before. But a good student of the Bible will tell you, but Pastor, Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Jesus warn them of what was about ready to take place? Numerous times in Scripture, he says, I'm going up to Jerusalem, and there at the hands of the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law, I will be arrested and crucified, and the third day be raised again to life. But they couldn't grasp it. In fact, when Peter heard those words, Peter looked him dead in the face and said, this will never happen. To which Jesus turned and said, get behind me, Satan. For you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. From the disciples' perspective, the events of the Friday that you and I call good appear to be utter defeat. As if Satan had won the victory once and for all. Jesus had predicted his resurrection. On the third day, I will rise again. On the third day, brothers, I'm going to rise again. The tomb's going to be empty. Where were the disciples on that first Easter morning? They weren't sitting at the tomb of Jesus going, Jesus, 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 waiting for the stone to be rolled away. They're locked away. Afraid for their own lives. In fact, when the women who had the guts more than the men went to the tomb and found that it was empty, they came and told them, we have seen the Lord. And what did the disciples think? They're crazy. These women are out of their minds. But when the other disciples finally saw the Lord risen, Thomas wasn't with them, and he rejected the eyewitness accounts of the other disciples, saying, I will not believe unless I see the nail marks and place my fingers in them and place my hand into his side. I will not believe. Well, eventually, after numerous encounters with the risen Lord, they finally get it. They finally realized that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead just as he had said, and that now their sorrow is filled with joy. So, my dear friends in Christ, where is your post-Easter joy today? You see, after all, we understand exactly what Jesus is saying when he says to his disciples, a little while and you will not see me, and again in a little while you will see me because I go to the Father. But too often the world in which you and I live in, we look at the events as they unfold as if it is complete and utter defeat, as if evil has won. And like the disciples, we live in fear. Locked up in our own selves, not wanting to expose who we really are for fear of what others will say. But we live in fear. You know, watching the news this week, it seems to me as if the pressing challenge of the society in which you and I are now a part of is whether a man who identifies himself as a woman should have the legal privilege of using a woman's bathroom or vice versa. And I just noticed the other day that there's a new sitcom or a new a reality show coming out called Kate. Well, it's actually Bruce Jenner masquerading as, well, he has the parts, but he's not, you get what I mean. We live in a world where things are all screwed up. It seems as if evil has won. We watch in the news. In fact, one of our members this morning wanted to give me a pamphlet about Islam and the terrors and the evils of Islam, and I think we understand that, and look no further than 9/11. And you see the world in which we live in, it seems as if evil wins all the time. We live in a society that takes great joy in the death of Jesus. We live in a society that doesn't want the Ten Commandments before them to remind us of who we are and our need for Christ and his crucifixion. We live in a society that wants them taken away because we don't want to obey them anyway. No other God, you gotta be kidding me. We need to coexist using God's name in a harsh and unrighteous way. Big deal. Everybody does it. Remembering the Sabbath day, Pastor, I got better things to do on a Sunday morning than to sit and listen to you yell at me for 15 or 20 minutes. Honoring those in authority over me, poppycock. Gosh. Murdering my neighbor? Really? Sexual sins? Stealing? Abusing my neighbor's reputation and coveting their property or their wives? That's my business, not yours. That's the society we live in. And it seems as if at times the devil's winning. Oh, we gather together and we shout those words, "He is risen, He is risen indeed, hallelujah." But do we really mean it? It seems like that little while and you will not see me has lasted far, far too long. But then it gets just a little bit closer to home. You see, Pastor, I work at a job I hate with people that don't like me, and it's no fun. It's not fun anymore. It's drudgery every single day. My spouse doesn't get me. In fact, he or she treats me as if I don't even matter. They don't love me like they once did. It seems as if evil wins in the world today. My kids are unruly. My life is unmanageable. There is no hope at all. Oh, in a little while and you will not see me. Yeah, I know what that looks like, and I know exactly what it feels like. But we stop right there. As if Christ has no impact on our life today. As if He's gone somehow, like Elvis left the building. He's no longer here to watch over, to uplift and strengthen us day by day. But here in the midst of these words, I find words of promise. For He doesn't just stop with, "In a little while and you will no longer see me." But He says, "And again, in a little while, and you," I love this word, "will see me." In the Greek, it's not subjunctive as if it's, "You might see me, perhaps, if you're lucky." But He uses the word "will." You will see me. Dear friends, you and I should not be surprised at the depth of sin that's found in our world today. Throughout Scripture, God's Word reminds us and points forward to a society where the truth seems like it's utterly defeated. The gates of hell rage all around. It seems as if Christ has left the building. There is no hope at all, not for any of us. But yet, amidst all of that, we continue to hear God's Word, a promise. A word that says, if you believe and are baptized, you shall be saved. A word of God this morning that reminds us, as three young people stand before this altar, received as communicant members, as confirmed members of Christ here at Emmanuel, a word that says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. You have His promise on it. Oh, God's word of promise that as you kneel at this altar, that it's not simply bread and wine that you eat, but it's the flesh and blood of Christ, crucified and risen for the life of the world. To give you strength. Strength to face each new day in spite of everything around you indicating it seems as if evil's winning. Our Lord says, don't walk by sight, but walk by faith. Believe my word, trust my promise. In the midst of all that, you have great hope. This morning I remind you that your Lord is not dead. Your Lord has risen for your life. He is present today amongst His body through His word and sacraments to strengthen you, to encourage you, to give you purpose for the day. To realize that no matter how evil the world in which I live in looks, no matter how much it seems as if I'm beaten down and defeated by the devil, that there is hope even for today. He says, I have come that they may have life and might have it to the full. That's why Jesus came, that you may have life and that you may have it to the full. Life does have purpose and meaning, for you have been reconciled to God through the atoning death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His dear and only Son. Whereas in a little while, you could only strive to please God and grope for His acceptance and forgiveness. But now, right now, He freely lavishes upon you His grace and His mercy. So therefore, you and I sing and rejoice, not because God is dead, but because the devil is bound. The victory has been won. Death's grave has been opened. It no longer has dominion over us. Well, I began with that riddle. I've given you plenty of time to think about it. So, who makes it has no need of it. Who buys it does not use it. Who uses it can neither see it nor feel it. What is it? A coffin. A coffin. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.